Hey guys, it's Josh from Josh's Journal, and I just want to thank you guys again for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that there are people out there listening and coming and telling me that this podcast means so much to them, and they get a lot from this podcast, and they're finding interest in this podcast, and that they really enjoy the new format, how I'm doing things. It's not a prompt that I'm reading anymore. It's more of a flowing, genuine conversation that I'm having with someone else, and I seem to get pretty good reception from people that are listening. So if you guys do have any tips or suggestions, let me know on Stitcher. You can contact me on Spotify. Oh, yeah, I don't think you can contact me on Spotify, but you can contact me on Stitcher for sure. Anchor is what I'm doing this podcast off of, actually. So Anchor, you can send me voice recordings. So just send me something on there, and we can see what we can get done. But without further ado, let me get to the person that we're having on this podcast. His name is David Joseph, and he's a really close friend of mine. I've known him for maybe around 10 years now, and he is one of the most humble, genuine, and like-minded people that I've known for a long time. We've always thought the same way. We've always had similar struggles, and we've always had a close bond, especially since we actually live kind of close together. I've always found him to be like a brother to me. And I just want to tell you a little context from this recording. I told David that I was going to meet him up and record with him, and then he had me come over to his house, and as soon as I come to his house, I open the door, and his dad's in the front foyer, and he's working on a chair. He's a really big handyman, and he loves to fix his own furniture, and so you hear a little bit of power tools going on and stuff like that, and then I go upstairs, and David's also fiddling around with his microphone, because he wants to give me the best quality microphone possible, and I'm telling him that it's okay, we don't have to, you know, use the mic, we can just use my phone, which is how I did my last podcast, and he's trying to give the best quality of, you know, product to me. And if that doesn't tell you something about David, what you can learn from that is David only wants the best for the people that he loves, and only wants the best for the people that he's around. And without further ado, let's get to the podcast. David Joseph.
So we're just trying to get the best audio quality possible.
Well, just to see if this works.
You want to see if the mic works? Hooked up to your laptop.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, it's okay.
Yeah. We tried it once with my phone already, and it didn't work, right? So It didn't work with my phone. Did you try with your phone?
I think the problem is it thinks this is a headphone.
Oh, I see.
And it's not thinking to the recording.
All good, you know. However we can make it work, we'll make it work, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it would update it?
I have another microphone.
Yeah. Bring it out. What are we waiting for? Why did you make me wait this whole time?
No, the only thing is, like,
okay. That's all good, dude. We'll record from my phone. Yo, what up, guys? It's Josh Matt, and I'm here with the ever so lovely Mr. David Joseph. Say what up, David.
What up?
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Not much.
Yeah?
I'm actually kind of nervous. No. I don't know. Never been on a talk show host before.
You've never been on a talk show host before.
Yeah,
it's all good. Don't worry about it. You'll be on plenty. Trust, you'll be fine. I'm sure. Forgive the background audio. David's dad is doing some mechanical work.
Construction working.
Yeah. Some chairs. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear the occasional, what's it called, power tool going off, but it's just David's dad, you know, being the handyman he is, being the jackhammer he is. Mm. So David,
Jack Power.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
How's it going? How's life?
Great, yeah. Josh, actually. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing is really good, and I think it really motivates others to share their own stories about their life.
Yeah, okay.
Because we all have a story to tell.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to have you on, you know, because you're going through you're going to have a lot coming up in your life right now. You are affianced. You are going to get married soon to a lovely girl. We'll keep her name private. So, but yeah, she is the love of your life. Uh-huh. And how does that feel? That's a major thing that's going on in your life right now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I just met her one day. And
was it like 4 or 5 years ago? 4 years ago?
2016. I mean, I met her in 2012, but yeah, 2016 is when things got heated up.
Yeah.
Like the microwave. It started off at the library, then it kicked off from there.
Wait, so you guys met in 2012, but you guys weren't like friends that whole time until 2016, or?
Yeah, so we met each other, but I thought I was too bad. Like, I was like not good enough for her, kind of thing. Yeah, like she deserved, like, you know, like a prince, you know.
Well, she's a good girl, and it's I can understand how you would think that. Mm-hmm. But you just thought you weren't deserving of someone like her because of the things you were going through that time in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was just like, I saw her in the library and I was like, oh, I remember you from so many years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, I remember you too. And I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, oh, you want to study together? Because, you know, I was going through a lonely time, and I never studied with anyone actually going through UTD. So having someone to study with actually helped me feel better, you know, helped me feel a little bit less anxiety and stuff. And she was willing to study with me. So that thought that was pretty nice of her.
Yeah, I remember when even I was at UTD, you had anxiety from even seeing me. You would walk the other way. You didn't even want to say hi to me, so.
Yeah, I struggle with severe social anxiety.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I think whenever I saw Josh, I assumed he was a very intimidating kind of person.
Oh.
And he would be like saying hi to me in the hallway, and I would be scared to even say hi back because I was just like, what if I had to say something else? Like, I don't know what to say next, kind of thing. Like, I don't want to, you know, make a bad impression.
Or be embarrassed of whatever. I feel you, And I think it's normal for anybody, you know, going through, I guess, social anxiety or, you know, not knowing their place in life or not knowing, not having confidence at all. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, everybody deals with that to an extent. And you know, I totally understand that, and I don't blame you for not saying hi to me. I wouldn't want to say hi to me either. It's all good. Yeah. But I'm glad that you found that girl to finally come study with you. And I'm surprised you never asked me to study, because we knew each other way before college days. And again, that probably went towards your social anxiety, the reason you didn't want to hit me up or anything like that. So,
well, I was studying business, and you were studying political science.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we were in different buildings, different
times. That's the reason. That's the reason. Yeah, yeah. No, I hated you too. I'm kidding. No, we were just in different kind of places in our lives. I was working at the activity center, so I saw everybody that came into the activity center. So, I mean, I'm not going to ask everybody to hang out with me. And just like that, I knew you were busy and you were walking very fast-paced whenever you did come through. So, you know, it's not like I hit me up. This dude didn't, you know, look at me. What's going on? But I did expect that at least, like, or I guess I wanted you to say hi to me because I thought we were friends, you know, from way back. Because I met you. How did we meet? I came to your
I came to your church actually.
No.
For a revival. And
the 2010 one?
And something like that. Yeah.
The new church, right? The
Sehion.
I didn't go to that church. I went to St. Paul's.
I know, but church. You came to Sehion.
Oh yeah.
For 1 year for
That's right.
That's where I met you because you stood up and gave a testimony.
Oh yeah, I did. I remember
and
that.
You don't remember us, but
I don't think we meet.
We met
there
because I was like, I remember your testimony. I was like, dang,
yeah.
he can really speak well.
Yeah.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
And so we're just like, wow, he's impressive.
No, I think in that point in time, I really felt, you know, in that revival and. In that moment, I felt like Jesus and God was speaking to me to tell my story and to show how he was working in my life to other people, you know? And so little did I know that you were listening. And I didn't really feel like anybody was listening. I felt, honestly, in that moment when I did give my testimony, I remember, like, I was sitting next to a girl that mm-hmm. I was trying to impress. You remember that girl, right? Mm-hmm. And I went up there because I was like, maybe, you know, in that instance, I was kind of flexing my spiritual muscle. Mm. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to think I'm cool. Mm. But that wasn't my main intention. I actually did want to speak. But then there was that little bit of contrarianism in the back of my head. It was like, okay, I hope she thinks I'm cool. I hope I didn't say anything embarrassing. I hope, you know. And my intention was not for everyone to be like, hey, come see me or hear me. Mm. I genuinely wanted to speak, you know, my testimony, mm-hmm. but I also kind of maybe flexed my confidence a little bit mm-hmm. in front of her. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go speak, but I wanted mm-hmm. to, but also like, yeah, I was trying to impress that girl a little bit. I feel mm-hmm. like, you know,
yeah, that's a real thing to say because yeah. I feel like some people, they do that and they don't admit yeah. that they're doing that.
Yeah.
They think what they're saying is like, oh, it's I'm giving my full testimony, but they're actually like the intention behind it mm-hmm. is yeah. not.
I think not good. I think that's one reason why I left the Martha Mamaleli Church in particular. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to speak on that, but I feel like for me in my instance, you know, I grew up in Arkansas, you know, mm-hmm. and from the age when I was 5 years old to 15 or 16 years old, I grew up in Arkansas and I wasn't really around Malayalis at all, and. Then for me to come down to Dallas to be surrounded only by Malayalis, mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like a culture shock for me a little mm-hmm. bit. And I saw a lot of real, genuine people that loved the Lord. Like, you know, I can mention people, but I'd rather not right now. But I saw genuine people like playing guitar, serving the Lord, worshiping like in music, whether it's like in the background, helping out with logistics, like setting up revivals, you know, volunteering to like become the president of the secretary mm-hmm. of the committee for the youth. Right. Mm-hmm. So those people that genuinely wanted to help. But then I also saw the other side of it where like, you know, there was people only coming to Easter service, like the mm-hmm. fake people that kind of only wanted to be around the big, community events, mm-hmm. right? Like Martha Fest. Like, you know, the events for kids where everybody and their mom comes, like all the girls come, the guys know that the girls are there to watch the guys play basketball. And then, you know, it's kind of them flexing their mm-hmm. one talent is playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of that, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but I feel like a lot of the Malayali community back in our day, like 2010, maybe 2009, around there, mm-hmm. and still surrounding years, were surrounded by sports events. And mm-hmm. that's how the community came together was during those sports events. And a lot of the people that came to the community events for sports didn't also come to the events that truly mattered, like revival, like a mm-hmm. spiritual event, like, you know, one day retreats or mm-hmm. even the regular Martha retreats. So mm-hmm. I don't know what you think about that.
So you're saying like not everyone was equally like involved in yeah. both the spiritual side.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like with any church, it can be like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like Marthama Church, Marthama, Penti, any church, I feel like it's like that. Like there's going to be a side that wants to be involved with like the spiritual side, but then there's like another half who doesn't want to do that. And I think, I don't know if that's like a flaw, I think that's just like an inherent flaw mm-hmm. in like human, like our flesh kind of thing.
Like people just want to gravitate towards the things that they like better versus like hearing a priest speak.
Yeah, like so some people like I believe like if you're like if basketball's life, you know, like that's like the motto.
Oh yeah. You know, 12,000 people that say that.
Yeah, like and so when basketball is life, like you that becomes your identity. And so when you lose yourself in that identity, I think it's hard for people to like be like, I don't want to go to, you know, this Bible study or whatever, and like because I'd rather play basketball or something. Yeah. Like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that really happens.
No, there's, you know.
But like what I'm trying to say is like I think people will lose their identity in those kinds of things, and that's like something I think everyone can relate to. I think everyone has like that struggle and not relating and not putting their real identity in Christ, you know.
Right.
But I don't think that's like something wrong. Yeah. I didn't see that. I mean, I saw that, but I don't think that's like, I don't put the blame on that.
Yeah.
On Martha McChurch kind of thing. I think that's just like, I think that's like our inherent nature.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, with that, we're going back to you, right? So like, let's go back to you being in college, right? I think we just went off on a huge tangent, but that's okay. I think I like where we went in that. But do you have anything to add in that? If not, we can just go back to what we're talking about.
Yeah, we can go back.
So, like, you were saying that you were in college. This girl that you were friends with, you asked her to study with you, and she finally got to study with you. How in that time span, what was the time period when you guys started talking, you guys started dating? Like, what was the time span there? Were you a dating guy? Did you talk to many girls? Were you loving your single life? Were you enjoying your time span as a single person, or did you want a relationship, or did it just happen to you?
So you're asking like how did I view that time span, or what?
Yeah, like during that time span, like you were in college, right? And you were going through your social anxiety. What took you out of that social anxiety, right? Like to finally ask this girl, hey, you want to study?
I think it was kind of out of character for me to like ask her to study with me, because I never actually done that.
Yeah,
I would if it's like the people who, I would only do that to people I know. Like, you know, not just like someone I kind of just re-met basically. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it did take, I think I still struggle with social anxiety, but not as in like how it was to the degree it was before, like in college.
Do you feel like, that, from that, you're obviously a changed person from then to now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like this girl has helped you in that aspect?
Bringing
out of your social anxiety.
Yeah, I think the reason why I have social anxiety, I think like some, I don't know if it's for everyone, but for me, like having social anxiety, I always worry about like what people would think of me kind of thing, and like how they perceive me, and I wanted to control that.
Mm.
And so, like, whenever I'm trying to control things, like, like, you can't really control how humans, like, view you, because it's, like, impossible to control people's thoughts and perceptions, correct? Yeah. And so, when I met her, it was, like something different, you know, like...
Something new.
Something refreshing, because it wasn't, like, she didn't care about, like...
Your past.
Or anything, like she was just like, she made me feel like completely like comfortable, like 100% comfortable. And so like never have I had that, like, what's it called, that connection with someone right off the bat kind of thing. Like I have like had some good friends in college, but it took me a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
And like even then I wasn't like 100% comfortable as I was with her in the first like few days I met, like was talking to her.
And so I think that's what really put me over that social anxiety I had. I think when you can start being 100% yourself, I think you can start to like just be you,
yeah.
You know, and like start to like relax and like give your personality, and like it's easier to get to know someone when you can see like their actual self, you know.
Yeah.
And when she's giving 100% herself, like her personality, mm-hmm. and you're giving 100% yourself, I think it really helps with your anxiety a lot, like,
oh, yeah.
because you don't have to worry about what the person thinks, because you know that person accepts you.
Yeah, and they're coming from like such a loving, unconditional place, mm-hmm. right? Like, they're not holding you accountable to like, oh, you were this person in your past, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you're still going to be that way. So and they're not that type of way. They're not judging you. Mm-hmm. They're coming at you like they care about you. They actually want to be with you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I totally get that, man.
Yeah. I think also, like, growing up, I always had this idea, and I don't think it's real. I think it's something I made up in my mind, but, like, this idea of, like, if I was talking to another person in the Indian community, like, they would rank me, like, from the get-go kind of thing. Like, oh, does this person have a good education? What are their grades? What is their background?
Oh, yeah.
What church they go to? Right. Like, I would think like that all yeah. the time, and I'd be like, oh, like, I'm not in the same social circles as they are, and I would think, like, oh, they'd probably think I'm, like, some low-caste person, and that would, like, drive me insane mm-hmm. kind of thing. And, like, hearing, like, stuff, like the hate from other people about me,
mm-hmm.
when I was so, it would just drive me so confused, because I'd be like, I did nothing wrong to that person,
right.
but they still find reasons to have hate against me. So, yeah. those pre-notions, like, were really hard
yeah.
for me, especially with another Indian person. So that's why
right.
when I met her, it was totally different, because she wasn't like that at all. Yeah. Like, she didn't have that kind of, like, she didn't come off that way right. to me.
That's cool. So nice, man.
So, what about you and your girl?
Yeah, so I had her on the podcast recently. Monica, she's great. She's going to go far in life. That is a good person right there, man. And she loves you, too. She knows mm-hmm. you, and she's... I think, you know, as we've dated over the past 4 years, almost 4 years, she's become one of your friends. You know, at least to her, you're one of her best friends in my group, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's what I was going to say. Like, being in such a small community,
mm-hmm.
like, where everybody knows everything or has to know everything about you,
mm-hmm.
like, it can be... You can have that feeling of being squished, right, under expectations and pressure and... mm-hmm. you know, accountability, right? Because, like, it may not be like this in any other cultural circle, like, but definitely for foreigners that come to America,
mm-hmm.
There's this expectation, right? Like, oh, you're gonna get married at this age, you're gonna have a job by this age, you're gonna get graduated from college at this age, you're gonna, you know, right away from high school, you know, and you're gonna immediately go to college, right? And there's so many gray areas where thousands of people fall under, but, like, it's very taboo to talk about, like, say if someone doesn't adhere to those standards, right? Like, mm-hmm. say, like, if you graduated high school and then you don't know what you're gonna do and you decide to go to the army, or you decide to work at a shop, you know, and save up a little bit and then go to school. People don't understand that idea because they assume that, you know, well, first of all, those people don't know you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, they're assuming from, you know, other talk, like, oh, man, maybe he can't afford school, or maybe he, you know, is too dumb or couldn't go to school. So, like, there's all these factors that play into how we feel as a young Christian American growing up in a Malayali society, right, in America. And so I totally vibe with you, man, on that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Again, that's one of the reasons why I felt like I had to disassociate myself from that, because
mm-hmm.
I felt too much pressure, you know, and too much pressure for me kind of puts me in a bad mental state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, with any case, a lot of cases, like, I felt like, you know, I want to disassociate. That's my go-to, I feel like, is disassociation. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with that person if they hurt me. You know what I mean? Because why be around that person if I'm going to be hurt again, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I it may not be the best way to deal with things or problems, but that's the way that I've come to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
So for you, when you're going through those, like how people are perceiving you, like how is it on you and your and your girlfriend when you first started talking, or when you met, before meeting her, and then when you met her?
So before I met her, I was in a very bad place, right? I just came out of a really bad relationship that I won't go into right now, maybe in another podcast or something. But I was in a really bad relationship, and I was suffering from, you know, what I can only imagine. I hadn't been diagnosed at the time, what was as depression. I was, you know, totally not in the right mindset. I quit school. I quit working. I was trying to find happiness in all the wrong places, hanging out with bad people. And didn't really know where I wanted to go in life or what to live for, at that matter. And so then it just so happened out of the blue. Like, I'm a Christian and I believe in God and I believe in prayers being answered by God and stuff like that. And I can honestly say, like, me meeting her was a prayer answered. So we met 2015, I think around the same time you and your girlfriend started hanging out, or your fiance now started hanging out. And we've been dating ever since, man. Things have been great. She's led me to find that joy that I was missing in my life. Before I met her, I didn't understand the concept of treating yourself, allowing yourself to feel joy or happiness. Because a lot of times, I think, again, with going back to that small community, you're not allowed to let yourself feel joy because you're stacked under that pressure of just trying to be better, trying to meet that benchmark, right? So I think that was something that she allowed me to feel in my life, and that's how I overcame a little bit of my mental downfall, I guess. You know, I'm much better than I was back then, you know, prior to 2015. But I'm still struggling, and I deal with things every day. And so every day is a battle.
So do you still feel like you're being held to that standard, like what you were talking about, like
expectations
of how, like, the Indian community views you?
I see that when I do attend, you know, big Indian functions and stuff like that, it's very hard for me to talk to older uncles and aunties when they ask me, oh, what are you doing with school? What are you doing with, you know, work? What are you doing with this, this, and that? Oh, when are you getting married? You know, they always ask me those questions, and I'm sure they ask you those same things too. But, you know, it's very hard for me to give those answers because I don't have all those answers right now, and I'm still working on those answers, you know? So what do you say to someone that, you know, you don't even know the answer to, but they want to answer right there, you know? So I just find the way, honestly, I lie. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm working at this job. I'm working, you know, I have a job. I'm working. I'm happy kind of where I am right now in my life. I'm always striving to be better, right? But I'm still working on those things, right? Like my career, where I want to end up in life, how I'm going to secure the bag, per se, you know, how I'm going to be more financially stable so that way my kids have something to fall back on, rely on, you know. How do I provide for, let alone forget children, but let alone my girlfriend Monica, how am I going to provide for her as I'm planning on, you know, wanting to get married to her soon? Like, what is my financial responsibility? Where's that going to be, you know? So I have all these questions that I have to still answer myself, and so when I come to, like, you know, events like that and stuff like that, I just, it's very hard for me to answer them, but I just have to find some way to muster up the courage to give them an inkling of what's going on in my life. And I don't like having a lot of people know what's going on in my life, because I feel like, you know, there's this quote that I like to say, like, stay silent and let work, you know, and let your work show after you've, you know, worked so hard, whatever. That's totally butchering the quote, but it's kind of like, you know, stay low key, right? And mm-hmm. let them perceive what they want to perceive of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just focus on yourself, mm-hmm. right? So I'm trying to focus on myself, trying to figure out the things that I like. Because up until, like, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I still, like, didn't, like I said, I didn't allow myself to give myself the benefit of the doubt, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't give myself the benefit of the doubt when it came to, you know, body image, like, mm-hmm. you know, I still struggle with body image, like, you know, I a lot of guys out there do, I'm sure, you know. I didn't allow myself to give the benefit of the doubt when it came to, like, health, because I suffer from some health issues too. And I, you know, from a young childhood age, all my life, I was like figuring out, I was like, okay, when am I going to get over this issue that I had, you know, this, mm-hmm. this thing that I was diagnosed with back when I was 9, mm-hmm. and it's still going on, like, what is happening, you know? So, you know, just constantly beating myself up. And mm-hmm. up until 2015, like I said, you know, I had not let myself go of those things. And slowly but surely, like 4 years later, here we are. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've allowed myself to, like, have a filter for, you know, turning negative energy into positive energy, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, whatever is going wrong in my life, I can always find, like, a silver lining, always mm-hmm. find, like, a way to kind of morph my situation, right? Like, I don't have to view the cup half empty. I could view it as half full, right? Like, look at my blessings and see what God mm-hmm. has given you, and yeah. find happiness within myself, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really crucial. I think whenever you start to compare yourself and start to, like, hold yourself to a standard by what other people do, it's hard for you to focus on those positives that's going on in your own life. And I think we tend to, like, lose sight of, like, those positives and how big those positives can be in our own life.
For sure.
Because those positives may seem small to others, but yeah. I think those positives might be bigger to you than what it seems. And I think giving yourself more grace and thinking about those positives and being like, wow, I actually did this, even though it's so small, like, just giving yourself more
right.
positivity in your life really will help you get out of those kinds of situations. I think, like, it's hard for it's like you'll be stuck in a cycle pretty much, like, if you're never thinking of those positives. Yeah. Because you can go, it starts as, like, two words. It's just yeah. what if.
Right.
And so, like, you can be like, oh, what if I had this job? Or what yeah. if I said this to this person?
Exactly.
Kind
yeah.
of thing. And so I think it's hard to not think like that, but yeah. trying to prevent yourself from getting into those thoughts is yeah. crucial.
I always have those moments still, like this morning even, I woke up, like, randomly, and I was thinking about something, about a date I had with a girl back in 2010, mm-hmm. and I did something very embarrassing, and, like, I still cringe at, like, those things, and I'm like, oh, why did I do that, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, you have to, I guess, think about it this way, like, that was more almost 10 years ago. You mm-hmm. are such a different person now mm-hmm. than you were back then, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, give yourself the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, allow yourself to forgive yourself, mm-hmm. you know? Because you're not who you were mm-hmm. then, you know, so.
Yeah, I think that's, like, a good takeaway
yeah.
for people who are struggling with, like, social anxiety or being afraid of, like, being held to a standard by yeah. others, is to always, like, focus on yourself and, like, keep on thinking about the positives and keep working and doing you kind of thing.
Yeah.
But most importantly, also, like following God with this.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, if you don't have God, like, it's going to be, like, 10 times harder
oh, yeah.
without him, because right. like, it's so much harder, I think, to go through life without God than with God.
For sure. For sure. I totally agree with you 100%. If you're not bringing it back to the reason you're living, you know, the reason you have breath in your lungs, mm-hmm. you know, God, you know, mm-hmm. you haven't really truly found a reason to live, right? Mm-hmm. Or your life is, for lack of a better word, like, you're missing the whole point, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Like, I think in Matthew 6, chapter 6 somewhere, it's like, It says like the birds don't have to worry about the food. They don't have to worry about tomorrow and what food they'll get. Yeah. And so, like, what more will our Heavenly Father do for us, kind of thing. And so, like, I think we just need to have that faith and that dependence and trust and hope in Him. And if you have that, then I'm not saying, like, everything's going to be perfect, but I think when you'll get blessings. And I think people tend to forget, like, I think people think, like, blessings, like, in your life has to be always good. I think a blessing is, like, you know, sometimes going through some struggles can turn into a blessing, too.
Yeah, it turns into your testimony.
Yeah.
Like, of how God has brought you through those struggles. Mm-hmm. When you go through those struggles, it may be hard to, like, realize that, like, your struggles are a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, when those struggles are overcome, that's when you know, oh, man, this is the reason why this happened, you know?
And it helps you to grow and mature.
Yeah, true, true. That's nice, David. I like that. Yeah. Cool, man. Let's, I guess, move on. So you met this girl, right? Then you graduated college the same year or the next year? 2016, 2017?
A semester later.
Okay, so yeah. So then what did you graduate with? Tell everybody what you do.
I graduated in a double major in finance and IT.
Yeah.
Or management information systems.
For the record, David Joseph had his own bracket. I always like to bring that up. His own little category in the booklet of graduation. He made his own freaking, what's it called?
Title.
Title, yeah. Because he had, two degrees. You double majored, right?
Yeah.
Did you have a minor too? No.
No minor.
Yeah, you had a double major. That still blows my mind because you were the only person in that bracket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was there another person?
No, it was just me.
Yeah, it was just you. So, like, man, this guy, if you talk to him, you'll never, like, think, like, you know, oh my gosh, he's, like, making a boatload of money. You'll never think, like, oh, man, like, he does what he does, but, like, dude, I'm so glad to call you my friend, man. And, like, I think, personally for me, you're a true testimony of how, like, God can bring you from, like, I always think of, like, the story of Job, right? Like, we are questioning God, why? God, yeah. Why? Like, we're going through all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did back in the day. And then now to look from where we are back at where we were, it's like, super, I don't know, it transcends all reality. Like, we couldn't have done this ourselves.
Yeah,
definitely. It's all a culmination of God's work in our lives, you know.
Yeah,
and like, I've known you since, like I said, 2009 2010, and like, to see you grow into the person that you are now is crazy, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think I would be here without God.
Yeah.
Like, work wise
for sure,
because, like, real talk, like,
let's get down to the real talk. This, like, is the real
talk. I don't think my major mattered at all in anything.
Yeah.
I think it was all because of God. Because I think I had, like, nothing to show for in my major when I went to the real world. And, like, looking for a job after graduating was, like, such a struggle.
Yeah, you were worried about not finding a job, right?
Yeah, and I was, like,
a little bit.
Yeah, I was worried. I was, like, I mean, it's a common struggle for a lot of undergraduates when they go get into the job market. They're faced with, like, some have good jobs right off the bat, which is awesome. And then some are, like, actually, like, who are stuck in this limbo phase of, like, they're in this postgraduate depression kind of thing. And they're thinking, like, I went through all this school, I studied so hard, and I have nothing to show for, and, like, none of the employers want me. And, like, you start to question yourself. You think, like, oh, am I worth it? It becomes really tough when you're going through that period of phase. And so when I first got my job, it was like, I don't even know, remember. I think it was like 6 or 7 months after graduating. Yeah. after graduating.
And how did that make you feel like during that time period? What were you feeling?
Yeah, that time period was horrible. I was just thinking the worst because like I had no experience, no skills. Like I don't even know how to market myself because all I had was my projects from my from school. Yeah. And so, but yeah, God worked in that because I had like I had a friend, or my fiance, she had a friend from UTD who knew someone who, I went to her birthday and her boyfriend's birthday, and her boyfriend's birthday's mom worked at this company.
Her boyfriend's birthday's
my fiance's friend from college.
Yeah,
I went boyfriend. She has a boyfriend, and I went to his birthday party. At this birthday party, the boy's mom I was telling her, like, I was just like I needed to like market him. I was like, because I always heard like you need to market yourself to others. Just tell people like
what you do,
and like if you're doing, yeah, or like if you're looking for a job kind of thing. And so like, I saw that she was like kind of older, and I was like, oh, she probably has a job.
Maybe. And she worked at the company I think you liked, right? Or like you were looking at too.
Or no, it's just like, I was at the point like where I was like, I would do anything kind of thing. Like I was like willing to work at like McDonald's or Starbucks as like a barista kind of thing. Yeah. So like I was just wanting, I was at that kind of stage. And then, so I talked to his mom, and then she was like a recruiter, or not recruiter, but she worked in the company.
Right.
And so she recommended me, and then I got a offer like within like a month kind of thing. And it was, that was all God kind of thing. Like, cause there's no way that would have worked out. If I didn't know her, like there's no way I would have kind of got that job. And the job was pretty good actually.
Yeah. It's something that you, were familiar with, right?
It was not really something I was familiar with, but something I could easily do. Mm-hmm. It was a very easy job. Being, I was an implementation consultant.
Yeah, and at that old job.
Yeah, it was my first job. And so my first job, it was just being implementation
consultant.
Yeah. And so literally all I'm doing is just installing and setting up things for our clients, and like having calls with a bunch of clients. And it was a great job because it was really easy for me to do, but some reason for others, it was not as easy to do. And I don't know, it was really easy. And so like that job was good and bad. Like the good part was like, I barely worked. Like I could literally do my whole job.
Yeah.
Like I could literally do my whole job in like 2 hours for like 2 weeks of work I can do in like 2 hours kind of thing. Cause it was just, first was not much work getting handed to me.
Yeah.
And then second, it was like, it was super easy.
Oh, and then that job, you could work from home Fridays.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, over that.
It was where you could work from home on Fridays. You can work home like every day actually.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was like really chill. Yeah. It was a really nice benefit kind of job.
Yeah.
That was nice. But the quality of work was not something I wanted to do for long term, because I knew, like, if I wanted to, like I couldn't do that like 20 years because I would be stuck. I knew I would get stuck at this level of work, and I wouldn't be able to progress anywhere else if I tried to go to another industry.
So let me backtrack. What you said, your degree was what again?
MIS and finance.
So that's management information systems.
Mm-hmm. So, which is IT. So this job was IT. So this job was a little bit of IT, but honestly you did not need to have any background in any thing, because my coworkers, they had like a major in journalism.
Oh wow.
And like another person had like, he majored in Spanish.
What the heck? Working an IT degree or IT job with Spanish degree.
Yeah, so there wasn't really a skill set you needed to get, you needed to have beforehand.
Yeah.
And so, and so that's why I was saying like earlier, like it didn't matter like what major I did in college.
What led you to get this IT degree? We're backtracking a little bit, but what did you know your whole life that you wanted to go into computer sciences and IT in the computer field?
So when I first applied to college, I was thinking I was going to become a dentist.
Oh.
And then after high school, I realized I hate biology.
And there's no way
I can do biology, cells, yeah. neurons. You know, come on.
Yeah, it's not fun. I cannot. If I can't handle like biology one,
yeah,
there's no way I can handle like so many years of school for right. that. So like, right. I knew I didn't. I love the how great the job was of becoming a dentist,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that wasn't the kind of stuff for me, and so I switched majors like the first, like a few weeks before school. From biology to finance.
Okay.
And then, because, like, you know, that's what I was listening to, what, like, my parents, like, my brother and my dad would tell me, saying, mm-hmm. like, finance is a good industry to go to.
Yeah.
But I wasn't honestly really that. I was kind of interested because I was, like, watching, like, Wall Street,
yeah.
those movies, and thinking, like, oh, well, I can be an investment banker kind of thing. And then I was like, I went to like an orientation in college, when for like freshman orientation,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about IT and like the huge growth in that field in the next 10 years. And yeah. I was really intrigued because I was like, okay, if there's a huge growth going here, then there's a,
yeah,
there must be like, that must be, it must be something good. Right. Because I knew like finance, like there wasn't that much growth at that time. And mm-hmm. so I was just like, okay, like I'll just do this as my IT as a backup kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then at the end, I realized like IT is something I valued way more because it's right. something I could understand because yeah. I like
it comes technology. Easy to you.
Yeah, technology is like easier to me to understand than finance.
I see. Yeah. So through that liking and understanding of computers and IT,
mm-hmm.
you chose to do your IT degree with your Mandarin Information Systems degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was just two in one, or what did you, what was the second one you said? MAS finance. And then finance.
Finance and IT.
Okay, so you stayed in finance, but then you
I went through the college doing both finance and IT majors.
I see.
So I did upper level classes for both IT and finance.
Very nice, man.
But
yeah.
Looking back, I would totally do IT 100% of the way.
Yeah.
Because finance to me wasn't worth it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I would take like one or two classes from there. There were some useful classes, but I don't know if the major was worth it to me personally.
Okay.
But yeah. Same.
So where are you now? You are in a place where you want to be. What's your job title, I guess?
Yeah. So after leaving that first job, I went on to another job, which after I got laid off from the first job, and then being laid off, I was in this limbo phase again of looking for a job and like going through that depression. And it took me, I think it was like 4 or 5 months again also or something.
Mm-hmm.
And No. I think it was, so it was about to be 6 months. And so whenever I'm like doing research for jobs and stuff, I would always like Google like, okay, when is like the most optimal time to get hired?
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. And they say like after 6 months, if you're unemployed for more than 6 months, like your chances of getting hired drops like
tremendously.
Wow. Like it becomes like kind of impossible for you to get a job kind of thing. Because if they don't, because employers will just start thinking like, why hasn't this guy hasn't gotten a job for 6 months? Like, well, there has to be something wrong.
Oh,
that's the initial thought.
Wow.
For people reading your resume.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it was just about to be 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I got a call back. A recruiter called me for a data entry kind of job.
Yeah.
And so I was at that point where I was like, okay, I'll just do anything again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, I'm still trying to figure out what career I'm going to get into.
Right.
And then in the interview process, I was telling them like, I wanted to get into more coding and like kind of more technical background. And the recruiter was like, oh, yeah, kind of thing. And so I thought, okay, I'm probably going to get stuck with data entry.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going
to
be
not something you really wanted to do.
Not something I really wanted to do. And then when I got into the job, I was just like, when I first started like doing the training for the first 2 weeks, I was just like, oh my gosh, like mm-hmm. I have to leave this job in like 2-3 months kind of thing. Because there's no way I can like stay here. Right. But then my recruiter told another manager within the company that I was looking to be in a technical position.
Okay.
And it was just, so in the, after 2 weeks, the training, it was just me and my other, this other colleague who expressed that they wanted to get into technical like position.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened a new, like position for us with that, with just for us kind of thing. And there was like a group of like 14 people who joined in with us.
Okay.
And, yeah. And so like they all had more technical experience than I did. They had like several years of coding and stuff. And then when they see me and my other colleague, like getting a position made for us, like they were like really jealous kind of thing. Cause they're like, why did these people get a position when we were trying to get that kind of position?
Right.
And I was just like, man, that's all God. Cause like, I don't deserve to be there kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And so after working there for a year, I got a call from through LinkedIn, like some HR person from this current job.
Mm-hmm.
And she has said, oh, we saw your resume on LinkedIn. Would you be willing to come in for an interview? And I was like, yeah, sure. No. I was just like, I was skeptical because I was just like, okay, this is my second interview or somebody reaching out
right.
after expressing interest of like, I'm open to opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, it's the second interview. Like, I'm just going to practice
mm-hmm.
like how to interview again because it's been a while.
Right.
And I go into the interview and they it's like, so this is for a software developer position.
Oh, wow.
Which is what I'm right now doing software development.
Yeah.
And software developers, typically you have to have some kind of background, like programming experience, some like you need to have like a solid foundation,
right,
kind of thing. And so because like you can't really just start off as software developer right. without any experience.
Yeah, you have to know something, you know?
Yeah, and so
I
only
have some experience.
It's the only thing I knew was SQL, and that's not really a programming language.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so when I told the when I was in the interview, I was like, I don't really have any programming languages, like skills or anything like that, but I told them that I was willing to learn, and they were like, okay, great. That they said like since I wanted to learn, they were willing to invest in me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that's where I am right now.
Yeah.
And so
are you happy with your current position?
I'm happy with the experience I'm gaining from it.
The pay.
I mean, pay was nice. It was a huge jump.
Yeah.
Not like something I was expecting.
Right.
After going from my previous job to this one.
Yeah.
It was a huge jump for sure. Definitely a big blessing.
Yeah.
But...
And dude, this is like a job that like it can, you can, your pay can only increase from here. And your value of your, how you monetize yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Can only increase from here. Your career can only advance from here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So now I'm at a, it's like a good place
right.
to be in right now, because programming, just having programming languages under your belt,
you can
really leverage that to a lot of companies nowadays, because everything is moving to technology.
For sure, for sure. Do you ever see yourself in like Silicon Valley, like California, anything like that, in that big software kind of?
No, I think if I was younger.
Yeah.
And like single.
You're pretty young.
No, if I was young and single.
Oh, okay, like that.
Not
okay.
Like, if, because I'm about to get married.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I can do that anymore. Kind of
thing. Oh, okay.
Because like when you're young and single, like you can definitely, I would definitely do that. Like go
right.
to New York or Silicon Valley or something. Like somewhere cool.
Yeah.
But since I can't do that when you're about to be married, like you have to think like long-term kind of things. Like, where you're going to want to raise your kids.
Right.
And there's no way I can raise my kids and like have a decent life in California kind of thing and just live that kind of life. Because it's like ridiculously expensive cost of living, and I don't think it's worth it to be there.
Right. Well, so you plan on getting married soon, right? So how is wedding planning going? How is...
Can we take a tea?
Yeah, let's take a break. Hold on, we'll be right back. right, so we are back with David Joseph, and this is Josh Matt's Journals, or Josh's Journals. I forget my own podcast name. David, any closing things you want to say for this podcast? I'm really glad to have had you on, by the way, and glad you're here.
Yeah, definitely, Josh. I think some key takeaways from this conversation is that we learned that sometimes it's better to focus on the positives and to like just put things in perspective, you know, and taking time to like work on yourself and like focusing on God. And I think we learned that like God really does play a big role in our lives, and there's nothing that we can do on our own. But yeah, I appreciate you taking me on the show. As my first talk show host.
You're on a talk show. And you're not even on a talk show. You're on a podcast. And I am not a talk show host. So I don't know what you're saying. But yeah, so if you guys want to reach David, you can follow him on Instagram. What's your username?
You can follow me at DJ Photography, or follow me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/ Joseph X David.
Yeah, recruiters, hit him up. And I totally forgot to mention, David's a photographer too. So if you guys want to, you know, use him for your photography needs, hit him up there on his Instagram, DM him, send him a Snapchat or something. We'll end off with some Tyler the Creator.
Yeah, that David just played. It was nice for everyone to join, and I hope y'all have a great week. And I just hope y'all all the best. Remember, hope, peace, love, never forget.
You've been listening to Josh's Journal.
Wait.
Why?